Good morning. We've got, we used to have our prayer list on the back of our bulletin, but now we have a big prayer list that we keep over here underneath the cross. So for all of our prayer warriors out there, please make sure you grab one of those. Be praying over those names this week. I also want to lift up Ann Lael, as she's had knee replacement surgery. I think she's at Cottage Pines for the next 2 or 3 weeks, so be in prayer for her as she recoups. And let's continue to remember Pastor Ron. Seems like he's doing good, but we want to keep praying for his health, that he would continue to bounce back. And also, I'm not sure about your area, but I live off of Spainauer Road, and there's been a couple deaths just right around my house. I don't know if it's the weather or what. So just be in prayer for our community with the loss of some loved ones in the area. We also want to continue to pray for our church as we begin to move forward in the pastor search. And lifting up that business meeting, not this Sunday night, but next Sunday night, that we would follow God's will and putting the right people with on our search committee. After I pray, we're going to invite up Pastor David Mills. He retired from Berkmont. He was there 12 years, and he spent 42 years in ministry, but evidently he started when he was like 2 years old, so it puts him out, 44 years of age, I guess. And we welcome him and his wife, Miss Debbie. And the only difference between her and Miss Debbie Cooper is she's Debbie with a Y instead of Debbie IE. So we welcome you. We have a David Wells and a David Miller, and now we've got a David Mills. So not to get confusing out there. And he'll be with us this week and next week. So we look forward to hearing from you. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, I love you, God. I thank you for the privilege that we have of coming before you and reaching out to you, Lord, to know that, Lord, you want to hear our prayers and you want to answer our prayers. And Lord, you know the needs on our prayer list, God. We just pray that you would touch each of those. And Lord, the needs that we have within our congregation, Lord, all the unspokens that are on our hearts, Lord, Lord, we just pray that you would move on their behalf. God, I pray for Pastor Ron, and I pray for Pastor Mills and the search committee, Lord, that will be put together. God, we just pray that you'd be all about those things. But ultimately, Lord, our church wants to be about your business. So God, I pray for the lost in our community, that we would keep our eyes open to reach out to those and be willing to spread your name as we come in contact with them. And God, I pray we would take advantage of every opportunity. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts today to hear your word as Pastor David Mills comes forward and speaks to us, Lord. I just pray that you would speak through him loud and clear, and Lord, may we be receptive to the word that's preached today. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Pastor David.
Thank you. Good morning. It is a privilege, and I say that with humbleness in my heart. It is a privilege to be at El Bethel this morning. Thank you for allowing my wife Debbie and I to come today and to be a part of this. I realize this is a change, amen? It is a change, and I appreciate Pastor Ron and his Miss Debbie. I appreciate Pastor Ron and Debbie and the work that they have done in El Bethel. But it's a change. It's a transition. There's only two things that are constant in life. One is that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the other one is that God is the same, but everything else changes. Life changes. And El Bethel is in a transition. Pastor Ron and Debbie are in a transition. And my Debbie and I prayed for you folks this morning, and we have been praying for you since we were invited to come for these two Sundays, and we're praying for you as well. As a pastor that just retired recently, I can tell you, it's different sitting out there than it is up here. And Pastor, I pray for you today, and thank you for the privilege of letting me loan this pulpit to me for today, and I appreciate that so much. If you have your Bible today, I'm going to ask you to turn to Romans 6 and also Deuteronomy 11. Romans 6 and Deuteronomy 11. Since this is the first Sunday of the new year, 2018, I want to preach a New Year's message. I want to talk about what it is that we need to be about in the days ahead as believers. I don't know if you noticed or not, but the world is a little different than it used to be. society is a little different than it used to be. You don't have to do anything but listen to the news or just simply watch television or read a book, and you realize that things are way different than they were even 25 years ago or 30 years ago. And so what does that mean for believers? What does it mean for those of us who claim to know the name of Christ and who claim to be believers in Jesus Christ? It's not the same as it used to be. Used to be, churches like El Bethel or churches like Berkmont, we were the norm in the society. In other words, everybody looked at us, and churches like El Bethel or Berkmont or many of the other churches in Burke County, we were looked upon as normal. And basically, churches that are Bible-believing churches now, they are on the outside of things. Churches that are believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that He went into a tomb and that He was resurrected and that He's coming again, they are not the norm anymore. They are on the outside of things. And so we are no longer the mainstream. What does that mean? What does it mean for your students? El Bethel has one of the best student ministries in Burke County. Amen and amen. What does it mean for these students? I've said a long time ago, I'm not 42, I'm 66. I'm kidding. but I'm glad that I don't have to grow up as a teenager in this society. And I respect those teenagers that are growing up in this society and the ones that are living for Jesus in spite of the changes that are going on in this society. And so how do we help them? How does an El Bethel help them? How does a mom and dad help them? What are we to be about in 2018? How are we to live for Jesus in 2018? Given that all that's going on out there is different than it used to be. Given that when you watch a movie or you read a book, it's no longer entertainment, it's indoctrination. It's indoctrination into a whole different philosophical way of living. And so how do we as believers in Christ, how do these students and believers in Christ live in 2018? We can't just continue like we've been going, or we're going to lose the next generation. And so what do we do? Well, in Romans chapter 6, I'm going to begin reading there. In Romans chapter 6, it talks about that we are to resolve some things. Now, I'm not a big resolution fella for the New Year's. Resolutions usually happen till the first coconut cake. Amen? And so I'm not a big resolutions person, but we have to make some determinations if we're going to go into a future that's trying to steal away our faith and our students. We have to make some resolves in our heart. Romans 6 talks about that. It says, likewise, I'm reading in verse 11. Romans 6 verse 11 says, likewise, reckon. Now that's not a southern term, that's an accounting term. It really means to resolve yourself. Likewise, resolve or reckon yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto Jesus Christ. That's what we need to do in 2018. That we're dead to sin, but we're alive unto Jesus Christ. Verse 12, resolve. Don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Now that's something we're going to talk about in a minute. It is your determination, it is your volitional will that you will not let that sin that easily trips you up, and every individual has to decide which one that is. We're going to resolve that we're not going to let it have rulership over us in our normal body, that we should not obey it in the lust thereof. And then verse 13 and 14 says, don't yield yourselves as members of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves as children of God. Literally, don't yield yourselves as members of instruments of unrighteousness, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and that you are God's instruments of righteousness in this world. Deuteronomy 11 says this. Deuteronomy 11, parents, it's one of the verses starting in verse 18. It's one of the verses that you ought to put on your refrigerator. Y'all ever do that? Y'all put the sticky stuff on your refrigerator? You ought to put Deuteronomy 11 on your refrigerator. Deuteronomy 11 verses 18 says, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and in your soul. Now that's a profound thing. These are the things that you need to put in your heart and in your soul, parents. That if we're going to go into 2018 and ahead, and the world is changing, and the world is trying to snatch away our faith and our generation of children, then we as people of God, we need to recognize that we're in a spiritual battle. And that we have to be in that battle, and so we're going to lay up some things in our heart, and we're going to lay up some things in our soul, and we're going to bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. In other words, they're just stuck there so that you can see them. In verse 19, and you shall teach your children. Let me say that again. Say that with me. And you shall teach your children. That is that we're in a battle, a philosophical battle. And that the world's trying to teach them one thing, we're trying to teach them another thing. The world's trying to lead them down a path that says there's no God, there's no Bible, there's no church. And we're trying to lead them down a path that says that Christianity is real. And so we shall teach our children. Speaking of them, listen when we talk to them. When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up. I want to tell you, that's just about all the time. And it says, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of your house and upon your gates. Now, if we're going to do this, if we're in that battle, and we are, and all of you know that we are, if we're in that battle, then we've got to learn to not let sin control us. Because if we let sin control us, if we trip up, the children are watching. If we mess up, they're looking. Matter of fact, not only they are looking, but everybody else is looking. You know what I learned a long time ago? That when I was pastor at Berkmont or another church before that, I learned that people watch preachers. That's just weird. I learned that we live on a pinnacle. And preachers that live on that pinnacle, I found out that when I go to Walmart, oh man, when you go to Walmart and there's a line there, they got 57 cash registers and they got two lines open, y'all, amen? And when you're standing there in line and you get a little bit frustrated, a whole lot frustrated, and it shows on your face, I found out that there's three people behind me and two people in front of me that know I'm a preacher. And there's also three people behind you and two people in front of you that are looking for something. And they're looking for someone to show them Jesus. And so in 2018, we have to be those people that not only teach our children, but we give a different lifestyle and a different way of living to the people that are out there in this world. We cannot let sin, Romans 6, don't let sin control your actions and your words. Remember those two things. Don't let sin control your actions or your words, and resolve so that your children will want to serve the Christ that you serve, and resolve in your heart that you will want them to serve the God that you serve. Don't give them a reason to believe that your faith is not legitimate. Wouldn't it be wonderful if it wasn't affected by sin? I mean, according to the verses in Romans 6, 13, and 14, we have to yield. We can't yield to sin. We have to yield to righteousness. Now, there's some assumptions in there. That is that we have to be able to decide that we're going to show an unbelieving world just exactly who God is. That it's our responsibility to show the world who God is. It's your responsibility. I'm relatively sure that politicians aren't going to do it, that even in higher education, they're not going to do it, although I believe in Burke County we have some of the most wonderful godly teachers of anywhere in our state, and I praise God for that. But you can't rely on the educational system, you can't rely on government, you can't even rely on some churches to show our children God. And so it's your responsibility. I've often wondered, if I were God, I'd do things a little different, wouldn't you? I mean, if I were God, I'd just open up heaven, stick my head out and say, boo. If I were God, I'd just wipe out all the mean people. But God chooses to do it a different way. He chooses to use you to show the world who He is. He chooses in 2018, as weird as everything is, Isaiah said it best. Isaiah said, there's coming a day when people will call what used to be good bad, and they're going to call what was bad good. And God chooses to use you. God didn't make a mistake. He chose El Bethel Baptist Church in 2018 to put you here right now so that you won't yield to sin, that you'll yield to righteousness, so that you can be a proclaimer of who God is to your students and to your family and to those people in Walmart, whatever line you happen to be in. That God chose to use you to be salt and light in this world. And so he has a plan for you. He's got a plan for Pastor Ron, he's got a plan for me, he's got a plan for you, and so we are here to take that responsibility and to go forth in 2018, but it can't be like it's always done. If we just sit back like we've always done, the world's going to run over us as believers. And we can't be so heavenly minded that we're no earthly good. We can't shake a big pointy finger at everybody and tell them to either turn or burn. We've got to learn to live our faith in such a way to where the people out there will want the Jesus that you serve. So what does that look like? The lessons are this, and I'm going to give you three. Resolve to always be aware of your weaknesses in 2018. That's kind of negative, but I'm going to say it again. In 2018, resolve to always know your weaknesses. And all of us have them. We all have those weaknesses that we know creep up on us every once in a while. Some people have a temper. How many of y'all have? Don't raise your hand. Some people... Well, I won't go into all of that. You know what they are. Resolve to know what your weaknesses are, because you see, the devil's mean, and he will meet you at your weakness all the time. And so if you're going to yield to righteousness instead of yielding to sin, then you've got to know what your weaknesses are. You've got to own those weaknesses. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, is walking about, and listen to this, seeking whom he may devour. And when he devours you, he ruins your witness to the people around you. He can't steal your salvation, but man, he can steal your witness. And so in 2018, I've got to yield to righteousness. I've got to wear what I believe out front. I've got to be such a believer that the students that these students go to school with, they will want the Jesus that they serve, that your children that live in your home, that they will know by your words and by your actions who you are, and they will want the Jesus that you serve. In our lives, we will be missionaries or mission fields, the old saying is, and we need to be missionaries as we go into 2018. And so we resolve to know our weaknesses, and then we're going to yield ourselves to righteousness instead of sin. And so when that old sin just creeps back up, you know what that sin is? I know what it is in my life. You want to know? None of your business. But you know what it is in your life. And you've got to resolve, or it's going to get you. You've got to resolve that in 2018, you're going to yield to righteousness instead of yielding to sin. Second thing, resolve to pay attention to the Holy Spirit daily in your life. In 2018, that's what we need. I have found out, and I had my grandkids in for Christmas, and they had to come in at different times. You know, everybody's busy, so one came before Christmas, one came on Christmas, they come after Christmas. My statement at Berkmont that I've used a lot is that the prettiest lights at Christmas are the taillights leaving the driveway. So, but when y'all understand that, don't you? But the when I sat my grandkids down, I tried to tell them this year, pay attention to people around you. Try to understand them. When we let the Holy Spirit lead us, when we let the Holy Spirit, as children of God, and we're not giving in to that sin that easily trips us up, when we let the Holy Spirit lead us, we find out that that's when we really become salt and light. When you try to understand that waitress that comes up to you and you know that he or she's been going through a terrible time, that person that just gets on your last nerve, and if you try to look at them a little differently and pray for them, that person that you know that you haven't seen for a while and you need to go see them, that inspiration that God just floods your soul with that says, man, I need to give a call to somebody, that if we pay attention to the Holy Spirit in 2018, we're going to be salt and light. Sometimes we get so wrapped up in ourselves. We get so wrapped up in who we are and what's going on next. And I know, I mean, y'all are typical, aren't you? Y'all are typical folks. And I know that the world can put its hooks in you and just drag you to where, if you aren't careful, it's going to be Easter and you're not going to know where January, February, March went. But we get up in the morning and we say, I resolve, Lord God, that I'm not going to yield to temptation. I'm not going to yield to that sin that easily trips me up. That, Lord, I'm going to be a witness to my children. I'm going to be a witness to everybody around me. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit begins to tug in our hearts. And we pay attention to how to be salt and light in 2018. But we pay attention to something else, too. The Holy Spirit's a nag. Y'all know that, don't you? I mean, the Holy Spirit just nags us when we begin to have sin in our life. Amen. I'm so thankful that God loves us enough to nag us. And when that Holy Spirit nags us, pay attention to that. Pay attention to that early. As Barney says, nip it in the bud. Nip it in the bud early. The good news is that the Holy Spirit lets us know when we're about to slide. It is a nagging Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit nags us about that recurring sin. And when a believer sins, they can't have peace of God, and they can't have joy of God. And there may be some of you in here today in what I'm preaching already. You say, man, I know, man, that nagging sin has already dragged me further away from God than I wanted to be, and it's already put me in a place where my joy is gone. Good news, the Holy Spirit brings us back to God. And you can come back to God today. Sin is the willful continuation of a fractured relationship. But when the Holy Spirit nags you, you can mend that relationship, because the Bible says if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how many of our unrighteousness? All unrighteousness. Amen. Amen. The Holy Spirit not only nags us, but he intrudes in our private life. And if we pay attention to the Holy Spirit, there's something that happens when we don't yield to temptation and we yield unto God, is that our private life, and I'm going to put it back behind me, and our public life, our private life that nobody sees, well, God sees it, but our private life that nobody sees and our public life that everybody sees, when you put them together, they match. Man, that's when God uses us. But if your private life and your public life, if they come together and they do this, God won't honor that. If you want to be the best parent, if you want to be the best student, if you want to lead your children in the ways of God, you better make sure that that private life and that public life match. And the Holy Spirit will let you do that. He will lead you into that. Last thing. Resolve that in 2018 that you will show Christ to a dark world. Now, I'm going to give you five quick steps to that. You might want to write them down. It's whatever you do. But I want to give you five quick steps, and don't get all weirded out over it. I'm going to do it quickly, so we'll beat the Methodist to the restaurant. Five quick steps. Five quick steps on how to show Christ in a dark world. First one, repent of all known sin in 2018. 1 John 1:9 is the scripture that goes with that. Repent of all known sin. Now, when I grew up on a mill hill in Monroe, North Carolina, there was this guy that stood up in West Monroe Baptist Church, and he would pray always. He would stand up, and Sam would pray, and man, he could pray down heaven. But one of the things he always said that was confusing to me, he said, "God, forgive me of the sins that I know about and the sins I don't know about." I want to tell you something. I'm just not worried about the sins I don't know about. Repent of all known sin. And you got to search your heart for that, because it might be that one that easily trips you up. Remember that first thing that we were talking about? Repent of all known sin. Second thing, forsake, give up, kick to the curb all questionable habits and activities. Questionable habits. In other words, if you got a question about it, you're not allowed to do it till you get it settled. Forsake all questionable habits and activities. Romans 14:23 says that this goes with that second one. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. One of the churches I pastored, there was a lady. We were known as the brick church in town. It was way up in Madison County in Hot Springs. And we were also known as the church where women wore breeches to church. This was a long time ago. My wife's got on pants today, so I made a preacher mad up in Hot Springs because he says, "Oh, you let your people wear pants?" And I said, "Well, I wouldn't be caught dead in a woman's pantsuit." So, you know. But the ladies in church in Hot Springs, some of them would wear long dresses and wear their pants underneath. We get weirded out with stuff like that, amen? Wow. I'm not concerned about any of that junk. What I'm concerned about is that if you know you're doing something that God doesn't like, give it up. Give it up. I mean, when I was up in Hot Springs, my hair would come down to here, and I was the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. But if you've got something in your life that you know God doesn't like, repent of every known sin, forsake any questionable habits or activities. Again, the scripture for that is Romans 14:23. Third thing, this one gets a little hard. I'm going to quit preaching and go to meddling. Make right any wrongs between yourselves and others. That one's hard, but you see, there's this verse of Scripture. It's a nagging verse of Scripture, Matthew 5:23-24. And it says, when you bring your gifts to the altar and you think about that you've got something against a brother or a sister, leave your gift there and go make amends with them before you give the gift. Matthew 5. Make right, and by the way, that making things right, Well, I'm only here for a couple of Sundays, so I can say it and y'all can shoot me. It also means making things right between husbands and wives. Amen? And making things right between students and parents. Fourth thing. Meet God daily through prayer and the Word. And you know a preacher's going to say that. Let me say it a different way. Meet God daily through prayer and studying the Word. Let me give you a scripture for that. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Meet God daily through prayer and the Word. If you're too busy for God, you're too busy. Last thing, be sensitive. Get up in the morning, resolve that you're going to serve righteousness instead of sin. Know that you're the example that needs to be set. Be sensitive that God wants to use you daily in 2018. There's a verse that has stuck in my heart all of my ministry. It's James 5, 19 and 20. It goes along with that, and it says, if anybody wanders from the truth and you restore them back, that you have literally saved them from death. There's a whole world out there that is wandering from the truth. And if we can restore them back, even if we restore just one or two or whatever, if we restore them back, then we're going to save them from that separation from God. It is then, as I close in 2018, that we will teach our children that we will be salt and light in a dark world. It is then that things will begin to change, because you see, after all, what God teaches us is that we're not dependent upon the White House to make changes in our world. We're dependent upon this house to make changes in our world. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven. Then I will heal their land. And so God's waiting on us. We got a good start with our students at El Bethel. Amen and amen. We got a good start in churches like El Bethel, in churches like Berkmont, in churches like Mount Home, and I can name a dozen others out there. But we got a good start at it. But unless we double down with being salt and light, then the destroyer's going to enter in. He's already defeated. Don't let him defeat your home. Don't let him defeat your church. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Would you stand with me? Justin, if you would come. Father, as we have this time of invitation, I pray, God, that today that you will just touch our hearts. Lord, that we will just understand that we have been called for just such a time as this. Lord, that you chose El Bethel Baptist Church in 2018 to be here for just such a time as this. And that, Lord, for whatever reason, you chose these students that are here to be here for just such a time as this. Lord, you put a lot of confidence in them. And I pray, Lord God, that we will rise to the occasion. As Isaiah says, it's time to rise and shine, because our light has come and the glory of the Lord has risen upon us. God, may we take that responsibility to heart. In Jesus' name I pray.